Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I have a great program for you today. Now, getting older doesn't have to mean giving up a passionate love life. And today, then, we're going to be talking about sex in the later years and how it can be equally satisfying and in some ways even better. My guest today is Joan Price. She is an author, speaker, and advocate for ageless sexuality. She travels nationally and internationally speaking about senior sex to wide and diverse audiences. She is the author also of 4 noteworthy books about sex and aging, including the award-winning book called Naked at Our Age, Talking Out Loud About Senior Sex, and her latest book, Sex After Grief, Navigating Your Sexuality After Losing Your Beloved. Now, Joan is known by American and global media as the voice of senior sex. Her award-winning blog has been offering senior sex news, views, and sex toy reviews since 2005. And at age 75, Joan continues to talk out loud about senior sex. And you can find out more about Joan, her books, and her blog at joanprice.com. So welcome to the program, Joan. Wonderful to have you with us today.
Oh, it's wonderful to be with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, what a pleasure. And now, as I mentioned in the, you know, intro, you're an author and a speaker, and you call yourself an advocate of ageless sex. Help us understand or tell listeners, what does that mean, advocate of ageless sex?
Well, Terry, I've been doing this work for almost 15 years now. I can't believe it. And when I started, and to some extent still, sex as an aged person was swept under the rug. It either didn't exist, or it was derided, or it was subject to what I call the ick factor, which is, ew, wrinkly people having sex. That's disgusting. Right. And my mission is to normalize sexuality through our lives, and especially in our later years, and to advocate for it. If I hear jokes about it, or if I hear people deriding it or saying, well, of course, old people don't have sex, then I step in and I encourage the people who follow me or who agree with me to do that also. And thank you for doing that by having me here.
Oh, absolutely, because I agree with you. You know, older people become invisible as sexual beings, and we have researchers not even talking or asking questions about sex in the later years, or even doctors who assume older people are asexual. So I love that you are an advocate of ageless sexuality. So tell us your journey, though. What made you start 15 years ago?
Well, I started, well, let me go back even more than 15 years. Mm-hmm. When I was 57 years old, I met and fell in love with a man who was 64 years old. Mm-hmm. And our love affair was so powerful, so extraordinary, and whoa, so sexy, that I thought, why is this such a secret? And as the years went on, just a few years, because we didn't have very many together, unfortunately, I realized that sex at our age and older was not only a well-kept secret, but it was almost intentionally being kept under the covers or in the closet or behind closed doors. And I wanted to change that. I was already a writer. I was a health and fitness writer. And then I had the opportunity from a new editor at a new publishing house who said, is there something you're passionate about writing about that you haven't yet done? And I just blurted out, yes, the glories of sex after 50. And at that,
so you wrote about your own personal story then with this man. What's his name?
His name is Robert Rice, and he became my husband. I lost him to cancer after 7 years together, which is the reason for my latest book, Sex After Grief, because that was an important part of my journey and many people's journey that, again, was never talked about, was never discussed. But yes, I wrote my first senior sex book, Better Than I Ever Expected, Straight Talk About Sex After 60, when I was 61 years old. Mm-hmm. And I keep thinking I'm done, that I've written the books that needed to be written. And now
they just keep coming, right? They just keep coming. So let's start with that book. I think Naked at Our Age, is that the book you're talking about?
The first one is Better Than I Ever Expected.
Okay.
And that was a book that celebrates older age sexuality.
Okay. And so what piece of advice would you give to listeners who are 50s, 60s, or even older, so that they can enjoy their sexuality for the rest of their lives?
Two main pieces of advice. One is, and I can talk about each of them more if you want. One is learn to communicate your needs and desires and limitations. Mm-hmm. And to do that in a non-judgmental way, non-judgmental to you, non-judgmental to your partner if you have one. And the other piece of advice is to expand your idea of what good sex is. Let me expand on that now.
Yes,
I think.
Go ahead. How do you expand your idea of what real good sex is?
As we grow up, we're certain notions of what sex is supposed to be, how we're supposed to enjoy it, are introduced to us, and then that's accepted. For example, if we have a heterosexual couple, mm-hmm. they think that it is intercourse that is the goal of sex and should be the way that both partners enjoy it the most. Mm-hmm. Well, that's often not true for most of their lifetimes because, as of course you know, most people with vulvas do not have orgasms through intercourse only. They need clitoral stimulation, which they may or may not get through intercourse. But as we age, it becomes even more problematic. Our responses slow down, the blood flow slows down. Sometimes the positions we liked the most, we can't even get into because our knees hurt or our back hurts. So, you know, we have this stuff going on. But if we have already expanded our idea of what great sex is, it doesn't matter if the person with a penis can get an erection. It doesn't matter if intercourse is pleasurable for the vagina, because there are so many other ways that we can pleasure ourselves and we can pleasure each other that don't involve that. And I'm not saying if that's what you enjoy, stop doing it. No, of course not. But what else do you enjoy? What else brings you pleasure and great sensation? So that when we meet the challenges, and we will encounter challenges, we will have other things not to fall back on, because it isn't a matter of this is second best, but to bring to the glory of the pleasure it can give us.
And then once I've expanded my notion of what sex could be or is or good sex is, do I want to communicate that then to my partner?
Oh, for heaven's sakes, yes.
Yes. Yes. I know you would say that. I would come back to your first point in learning how to communicate to your partner about those meanings then.
So, for example, I'll give you an example. Let's say, because, as I said, stuff happens, and maybe we even lose a partner, and we're trying to date again, and we're meeting new people, and of course, there's a lot of anxiety about getting sexual with someone new. And this can happen whether a partner died or there's been a late life divorce or we've been dumped or we've done the dumping. Or maybe we've opened up our relationship, whatever it might be that we are interested in pursuing first time sex with someone new. And then there is the, but I don't know if I can get an erection with a condom. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. Just do you like it when I do this? Then lie back and enjoy this. We need to learn to communicate that we want to explore sensation, explore pleasure, and for goodness sake, give feedback about what feels good. Because if we're with a partner, and I always say if, because many of us are not, and solo sex is real sex. And we might need to talk more about that, too. Mm-hmm. I know we have limited time.
I know. We have so many topics. And I'm like, you know, like I have all these questions that I want to ask you. But keep going.
Okay. Well, why don't I stop for some of your questions? Because I could just go on for 2 hours and I've been known to do that.
I love it. And that is wonderful. And, you know, I think one of the things that's so apparent probably to listeners, Joan, is that you feel very comfortable talking about not only sexuality and the words about sex, but your own personal sex and sexual being as a sexual being. How does one, if you're a listener, become comfortable with talking to a partner? I mean, you said you have to expand your idea and I might want to read books, but how do I become comfortable even talking about sex?
Some of my books have even sample conversations because I know this is a problem.
Yes.
I know that, I mean, yes, I'm comfortable talking about sex. This is my day job. And so this is what I do and what I like to do, what I love to do.
Right.
But I know that for most people, especially of my age, where we were brought up not to talk about sex, we were supposed to not even think about it, let alone do it. But that's right. Another issue. So yes, talking about sex can be difficult. Especially if we've never done it, we don't know how to do it, or we feel embarrassed about it. We feel, oh, but I'm going to be judged if I really reveal. I'm going to give you an example that I give pretty much in every workshop I teach. Mm-hmm. So I have a blog, which is accessed from my website, joanprice.com. Clear to find it. It's been going for 14 years, believe it or not.
Wow.
And at one point, someone put a comment on my blog saying, I'm 78 and my wife has always loved having her breasts stroked. But now, no matter how long I do it, I can't get her aroused. Mm-hmm. I want to please her. What do I do? About the same time, I got an email from someone who said, I used to like having my breasts caressed, but now it just irritates the hell out of me. My husband won't stop mauling my breasts. I don't want to tell him because I don't want to, you know, the end of that,
right.
Hurt his feelings.
Right.
I don't know for sure that this was one couple, but it could be.
Right.
He wants to please her. He knows what he thinks pleases her. He keeps doing it. Her sensations have changed. Her erogenous zones have changed. And this is very common.
Right, but it's fascinating, Joan, that they're asking you rather than telling
each other. Exactly.
And so what you're saying is that sometimes we have to try or practice talking about sex and our own sexual needs and wants with our partner rather than always the expert and emailing the expert.
Right. And so when I talk about this in workshops, I ask people, so how could she tell him? She doesn't want to come out and say, I hate it when you maul my breasts. I mean, there's the end of that relationship.
Yes, judgment.
But suppose she said, as I age, where I feel pleasure is changing. I used to love having my breasts stroked, but now that's not as erotic for me. Could we go on a journey of exploration to find out what might work better for me now?
Oh, I like that. That was good. And that was all those I words.
Exactly. Yes. She's not blaming him, but she's inviting him to do something really pleasurable. Who would say no to that?
Right. I like that. Help me go on an exploration. I need your help in figuring out. Like that. Very good. Now, I'm going on to your next book, Sex After Grief, and you talked about that this is a book that mirrors your own personal life again. So do you bring personal stories into this latest book? And tell us, by the way, I think it's coming out in a few weeks, correct?
I have my first copies now, so people can order them right away from joanprice.com, or you can wait until mid-August and they'll be in stores.
Excellent.
Of course, I love it if you'll order from me because I'll sign it and ship it right away. Yes, Sex After Grief is a book I could not have written even a few years ago. I lost Robert, who was the love of my life. Mm-hmm. I lost him in 2008. That seems like such a long time ago, but it wasn't. I mean, emotionally, it's not a long time ago. Right. And I went through such profound grief after losing him. It was just the most profound grief that I couldn't even imagine what that felt like. It was like trying to bicycle in peanut butter while an elephant kicked me in the chest.
Wow, that is a good way of describing it, not being able to move and that peanut butter is thick, right?
Yes, yes. And I could just, I mean, trying just to do daily things was so hard for quite a long time. But then trying to regain my sexuality, here I was a sex writer, a speaker about sex, an advocate for sexuality, and I was sexually numb. Mm-hmm. So my journey included my journey over the years between 2008 and now included many different pit stops. Some of them worked, some of them didn't, many of them didn't, but I,
How did you know that you were ready to go on or you wanted to start being sexual again?
That's one of the things that I cover in the book. And the book has not just my story, but also excerpts from lots of other people's stories, because we all grieve in different ways and we all get ready for relationships or sex in different ways. And that's all normal. But one of the things that I emphasize is you can think you're ready and then you learn you're not. Mm-hmm. Or you think you're not, and you learn you are. Or you're right about it all. Or you try things, and you can try things without anything being permanent. Mm-hmm. You know, you can say, okay, I'm going to try this. I'm going to, this person, I feel comfortable with this person. Let's see about getting sexual. But one of the things I recommend is get sexual in stages. It isn't all or nothing. Mm-hmm. All or nothing is really difficult for someone who is trying to emerge from grief.
Right.
But if you can say, and again, communication is a big part of what I talk about in this book. If you can say to someone, I would really enjoy kissing you for a while. Can we just do that?
Mm-hmm. So in stages is very important. It's not all or nothing.
Exactly.
You know, one of the questions I get often, Joan, let's say from people who get divorced, is the notion of trust. And how can I trust another person again? But when I talk to someone who has experienced the loss, death of a partner, they always say, well, it'll never be as good. And I'll always be comparing. So if I've had the best and if I've been or had the love of my life, sort of what you said, why do I do it again? And what would you say to that person?
We are sexual beings. And at some point your body or your emotions are going to signal to you. For me, it happened in a dream. Mm-hmm. I had a dream that I was with a strange man. I mean, a stranger to me. Mm-hmm. And he was behind me, but he had his arms around me, and I could feel his erection. Mm-hmm. And it got me really excited. And then I woke up, and I was really excited. Mm-hmm. And I sat up in bed, and I said, I'm alive.
Right, right.
It was my body saying to me, raising its hand and saying, I'm in the room.
I'm still with you.
I know.
And that you're still a sexual being.
And it's also the need for touch. There were times I kept a journal at that time, and I'm really glad I did, because I was able to pull from it for this book. And part of what I wrote about was, I would love to be touched. And I said at one point, at one moment, I'm crying as if I will never stop. And the next moment, I want my breasts to be touched.
Mm-hmm. So you put that all in the book?
I did.
So great.
Yes.
Now, I know something else you talk a lot about are these myths about sex and grief. And a psychologist, I'm so interested in these common sense notions that we know are untrue. We only have a few minutes left, but share a few of the myths with us and then the realities.
Sure. And I have a whole chapter of those, so I will not try to give you the whole chapter.
Good. I want people to read the book, too.
Yes, please read the book. So there are two kinds of myths. There are the myths we hear from other people who are usually well-intentioned, but it still doesn't do us any good. And there are myths that we have internalized. So, for example, I'll just give you one myth that we get from other people. Wait at least a year before having sex with a new partner. And the truth is, there's nothing wrong with you if you want to have sex soon after your beloved's death. The one-year rule is useful for most decision-making, such as marrying again or mixing finances. But when you have first sex for a new person, it's entirely up to you and your willing sex partner. Mm-hmm. Another myth is sex with someone new is disloyal to your deceased loved one. That's survivor's guilt.
Right. And I get both of those a lot as a psychologist therapist, Joan. And I want to add on to that year one. There is no science that shows you need to wait. So, I mean, people think that there's all this research out there, even forget like okay and not okay values or opinions, but there's no research even that supports it. So, that is fascinating. So those two myths, absolutely. Okay, so those are the myths that other people tell you, right?
That's right. And an example of a myth we tell ourselves, this goes back to what you were saying, we can only love once. I'm done now.
Right.
And the truth is, it may feel like you can only love once, but many of us have discovered, and I'm reading from the book now, that loving deeply and completely does not prevent us from loving again. It will feel different, but it will be equally real.
I like that. And it will feel different, but equally real. Like that.
And it's wonderful if... And I think people should even sort of insist on this. In a new relationship, you need to be able to talk about your beloved, your deceased beloved. You need to be with someone who can accept that not only was this a strong part of your life, but it was a very valuable and wonderful part of your life, valuable for the new relationship too. Because look what you learned about love that you can take with you.
And it's then learning about you. And so if your beloved or your previous partner is part of you, it's learning about you. Thank you so much, Joan. This is wonderful, fascinating. I encourage listeners to go to your website, look at your books, and Sex After Grief, your latest book. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Terry. This has been a pleasure.
And again, listeners, if you want more information about Joan Price, her books, newsletter, and her award-winning blog, I think she's had for the past 14 or 15 years, go to joanprice.com. Also, you can connect with her on Facebook at Joan Price Author and on Twitter at Joan Price. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, theLoveDoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.